If you'd like to read along, the scripture will be taken from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 49 and 50. 1 Samuel 17, 49 and 50. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David.
People were going out after the service, shaking hands with the preacher, and one fellow in particular shook hands with the preacher, and the preacher grabbed him by the arm and took him aside and said, "Brother, you need to get in the Lord's army." And the man said, "Well, I'm in the Lord's army." And the preacher looked rather puzzled for a few moments and said, "But I only see you at Christmas and Easter." The man whispered, "I'm in the Secret Service." So, welcome to everybody where you're in the Lord's army or the Secret Service this morning. And speaking of armies, the greatest battle in the Bible was not between two armies, but between two men, David and Goliath. Almost everybody knows this story. As a matter of fact, any preacher who preaches on it kind of ventures into a bit of a problem area, because he's for sure going to leave out a detail that everybody's going to catch, or he's going to add a detail that everybody's going to catch. But I'm going to do the best I can this morning and trust that at the end of this, we'll be able to draw some lessons that'll help us on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and so on. The Bible story begins with David being sent by his father to check on his brothers, his three oldest brothers. They were fighting with the army of Israel against the army of the Philistines. And his father, being older, concerned about the boys, wanted to check on them, wanted to send some food to them, and be sure and give some cheeses to their commanders so they'll have favor with my sons. And David had a number of sheep to take care of, and so he got somebody to do that, and the next morning he was up bright and early and off to the battlefield where the army of Israel withstood the army of the Philistines. When he got there, they were just getting ready to go into battle. You know, they were whooping it up with the battle cry and getting ready to advance. And as that is happening, Goliath the giant comes on the scene. He steps out to the top of the mountain and he offers up this challenge to the army of God. He said, "I'm Goliath the Philistine, and if you'll send out a man, then that man and I will fight together, and whoever wins will be one another's slave. If I win, then you will become slaves to the Philistines. If you win, then the Philistines will become slaves to you." Now, I have my doubts about that really happening. But nevertheless, he offered this challenge, had been offering this challenge every day for 40 days, once in the morning and once in the evening. And it scared Saul and the Israelites so bad that they shrank back from the battle. As I study this story, I think that he was offering that challenge as much to Saul as he was to the army of Israel. Saul, being head and shoulders above every other man at that time, a tall person, was the one who should have been out there answering that challenge, but he couldn't do it because his life was not right with God. Well, anyway, David hears this challenge and he begins to inquire of the soldiers What would the king do for somebody who answered that challenge and whooped the giant? And they said, well, he'll give you his daughter, he'll give you money, he'll give you, you'll be living in Israel in a tax-free status. That sounds great, doesn't it? In other words, you're going to have it made in the shade if you can take on the giant and be victorious. Well, David's older brother, Eliab, heard that, and he really does a number on David. He said, what are you even doing down here? Why are you not back there taking care of all those scraggly sheep that is your responsibility to take care of? You know, sometimes when there's a big, great challenge facing you, of all people, your family are the worst ones to go to. And sometimes they're the best, but sometimes they're the worst. And so it was with Eliab and David. And David said, why are you saying all these things to me? I've come down here to help you out. You're being mean to me. Well, Saul overhears what David is saying about we should accept the challenge of this giant. And so he asked for David to come to him. David comes, and Saul tries to outfit him with his armor, but that's way too big. And David said, I'm not accustomed to this. I can't move in it. I have my own thing here, Saul. And then the Bible says that David heads towards the Philistine army and Goliath. And he, as he crosses a brook there on his way, he picks up 5 smooth stones, puts them in his shepherd's bag, and with his slingshot and his staff, he heads for the giant. Matter of fact, the Bible says he runs toward the army and the giant to answer this challenge. Well, this offends Goliath. And he said, you're sending me this boy with a stick? Am I a dog that you have no more respect for me than that? And David makes a great statement here, and one that's really important to our story. He said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Verse 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to turn you into roadkill. Bible doesn't put it that way. It says, I'm going to kill you in the name of the Lord, basically by the power of the Lord, and the birds are going to come and pick your flesh. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. By the way, that's used in probably one of the greatest sports movies ever. That's Hoosier. In order to prepare for this sermon, I had to watch Hoosiers again. Love that part of the movie, in fact. So it was when the Philistine rose and came and drew near to meet David that David hurried and ran. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And as he was running, he takes stone from his bag, puts it in the slingshot, meets the giant head on, and with his slingshot, puts a stone into his head, and the giant falls with the first stone. Exciting story, isn't it? After that, the Israelites had the courage to rout the Philistines. Not only did they win the battle, but they followed them all the way back to their homeland as they ran, and the highway was strewn with the body of Philistine soldiers. You know, it's a memorable story. Like I say at the beginning of the lesson, one almost everybody remembers. But and maybe the reason we remember it so well is because we can identify with it. Every day, we have giants that we must face. Do we not? Just think about it for a moment. Every day, not twice a day for 40 days, but sometimes 40 times a day. We'll have a giant come out, stand before us in all his haughtiness and pride, and declare to us, "You can't do it. You're never going to do it. You're a loser. You know, who are you? Where did you come from? Why do you think you can meet this challenge?" I like that word too. I like the way you say it. You know, you're a loser. There used to be a TV commercial on, and they showed this poor guy. I think he had bad breath, but anyway, you could tell the way he slumped. You know, he looked like a loser. And they would have this green cloud come out from his mouth, and it would say, "Loser, loser, loser." But that's the way our giants are, aren't they? Every day we're confronted with a giant or giants, and they disdain us. They speak out against us. Yes, it's just like Goliath did with David. As a matter of fact, sometimes my giants wake me up in the middle of the night. It's not enough for me to wait till I get up for breakfast, and then they stand there and breathe down my neck as I eat breakfast. They attach themselves, join themselves to the hip as I leave the house, and they're with me all day, reminding me, "You can't do it. You're never going to do it. Why are you even here? Forget about it." The giants of debt and danger and disaster and deceit and disease and depression. Very formidable. Now, when that happens, you and I need to do just what David did. We need to rely on God. And he did. David relied on God. Not a sword, a spear, a javelin, but rather on the power of God. Four times in this chapter, the Bible says, David says, "God delivered me. God will deliver me. God can deliver me." And you and I need that to learn that lesson. Now, as he went through the brook, he did pick up five stones. And, of course, that's an important part of the story, five smooth stones. Well, if you look at the story close enough, you'll learn that we, too, can find five stones to confront our giants with. And I just happen to have them here in my shepherd's bag. The first stone is our past. Verse 36. You know, when Saul wanted David to wear his armor, and when everybody was curious as to why this young man was willing to go out and fight this Philistine champion, David said, "Wait a minute, I've got experience here that you don't know about. When I'm back taking care of my father's flocks, and a lion or a bear come after one of the sheep, I have to wrestle him down and keep him from hurting those sheep. As a matter of fact, sometimes I have to follow the lion or the bear and retrieve the sheep from their mouth. And so I have some experience dealing with lions and bears. If I can take care of lions and bears, I can take care of a Philistine giant with the help of God." I used to read that part of this story when David talked about his past. I used to read that like there was a lion and a bear. But actually what he's telling all these folks is that God gave me the strength and the power to fight lions and bears, plural. May have happened more than one time as he was taking care of his father's sheep. But my point is this: David reaches back into his past for those victories that he obtained, and that gave him the strength to face the giant. When your giants begin to berate you, make you think you're a loser, you need to think back in your past, because everybody has victories. It may be that bachelor's degree that you obtained. It may be that special temptation that you overcame with the help of the blood of Christ. It may be that mathematics class that you thought you would never get through. It may very well be that sickness that you had, one that everybody had given up on and said, well, he's finished, he's done. Might as well go ahead and get ready to send him off. He's not going to make it. Remember your victories from the past, and that will cause you to be able to defeat your giants of today. Let's look at another one here. Oh, passion. I love this one. In verse 48, the Bible talks about David running to the giant. Boy, there's a lot of things I like to run to, but I'm not so sure I'd like to run to somebody like Goliath. The only thing, Goliath, the only thing bigger than Goliath was his mouth, really, to tell you the truth about it. But he was large, maybe 7 foot tall, maybe taller. His armor weighed, we think, something like 130 or 140 pounds. He had a shield bearer that went before him. His spearhead weighed something like 16 pounds. This was a big fellow. And yet David was willing, with a passionate attitude, to run toward this fight. While the whole army of Israel and Saul himself had shrunk back when they heard his challenges. And yet David, with the power of God on his mind, says, I can take this guy. Don't worry, fellas. I got your back. And away he goes. And you and I need to be passionate about facing our giants, whatever they are. And they're different for everybody. We don't need to stand and analyze the problem. Count the hairs on Goliath's chest. Can I take this guy? I don't know whether I can take him or not. We need to be passionate. Don't become the victim of paralysis, of the analysis of paralysis, but rather run to meet that giant, run to meet that Philistine army, and rely upon God to help you. And that's how you defeat your giants. Well, let me dig into the shepherd's bag here for another one. Prayer. The smooth stone of prayer is in this story for you and I to grab a hold of it if we just will. Actually, I don't see any place in the story where it says that David prayed. You may. That may be one of the finer details that I'd miss. But he was too interested in getting to the fight, at least on the spur of the moment here. But I believe with all of my heart he did pray. It may have been nothing more than just as he picked up those 5 smooth stones out of the brook, saying to himself, look, Father, I know what I'm doing here, but I'm going to need your help. I'm going to rely upon you. Make one of these stones sure and true to dispense with this big guy really fast. When you look at all the praying he did in the Psalms, and you look at all the praying he did in the literature about David, and above everything else in Psalm 23, when he says, and God prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemy, leads us to believe that David prayed before he fought this giant. And that's a pretty good idea for us when we're fighting our giants, is it not? The power of prayer, the power of praise, to drop to our knees and pray to God that, help me take care of this giant, Father. I can't do it by myself. I need your power. I need your strength. Help me out here, if you would, please. And God will do it. The power of prayer in facing our giants. Well, let me find another stone here. Don't have too many more left. First place, the smooth stone of first place. One of the things that I like about this story, and it's because every once in a while I get too big for my britches, and I forget who's really in charge. One of the things I really like about this story is that one of the reasons David wanted to fight with only a sling and a stone is he wanted all of Israel, all of the assembly, to know that God does not deliver by the sword and the spear. But in his name, David says, in the name of the God of heaven, I'm coming to you, Goliath. Of course, at that point, Goliath wasn't smarter to pick up on that. If he were, he'd have probably turned and run. But David says, God does not save by the sword and the spear. You know, the only thing that would have made this story better for me was if David would have come charging in on an Arabian stallion or a Tennessee walker, since we're here in Tennessee. But then that would have defeated the whole purpose of the story, because the story is to remind us that our destiny lies in our relationship with God. It is through the power of God that we overcome our giants, whatever they may be. And David knew that secret. And that's the reason the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. A young man here going off fighting the giant, not forgetting to put first things first. And that is, God will deliver the giant into my hands. God will deliver the army of Israel from the Philistines and from this giant. We mustn't forget that as we face our giants. And then finally, persistence. That's the smooth stone I think I like best, persistence. Of course, you got to be careful. Sometimes persistence turns into looniness. But what persistence here is in this story is that David picks up five smooth stones out of the brook. And there is a place in the Bible where it seems to teach that Goliath had four brothers. And over the years, we've surmised, almost all the books on this story that I've read or read on David, we always surmise that, well, he picked up five smooth stones out of the brook because Goliath had four brothers. He knew he'd get Goliath with one stone, but he also was afraid that he was going to have to fight the brothers. Well, I'm not so sure of that. I think the Bible does teach that, and it's okay if you want to teach that, but you know what that says to me is that when he picked up five stones, he thought that he was going to have to keep on fighting. There's a whole army of Philistines, and I'm going to have to fight, maybe all day, maybe all afternoon, maybe till the sun goes down. Couldn't that also be a possibility that what we're looking at here is David's persistence? I'm not going to give up. I'm in this for the long haul. You know, it's so easy sometimes to get us to quit. It's almost like we've pre-programmed ourselves to quit. And the reason for that is we're relying upon ourselves and not upon God. David relied upon God. I'm going to take my stones with me. But you can bet you that the Lord will deliver this giant into my hands this day. And I'm not going to give up if I miss with the first stone. Who knows? I may hit him. He may keep on coming. Charles Swindoll, in his book, David, Man of Passion and Destiny, calls his chapter on the story of David and Goliath, David and the Dwarf. I really like that title myself. It doesn't take away from anything in the story to me. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I feel sorry for our giants. If we have the stone of the past, the smooth stone of persistence, the smooth stone of first place, the smooth stone of passion, and the smooth stone of prayer. I feel sorry for him. I really do. If we come at him in the power and strength of God, in the name of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I feel sorry for him. If you focus on the giant, you stumble. If you focus on God, your giants tumble. I guess that's my point this morning. Now I need to get you some help. If you're here and you've never been baptized, and in an audience this large, I'm sure there's somebody who's never been baptized. You need to do that this morning. You don't need to stand around and count the hairs on Goliath's chest. You need to be baptized, because that's what stands between you and your sins. That's what stands between you and your salvation. If you don't feel that way, you don't believe that, there's a number of people here that will study with you and get you to the point where you need to be. But you're not going to get help from God unless you're a Christian. And that's how you become a Christian. If you have at one time or another been baptized, but for whatever reason, maybe a giant or giants have caused you to leave the Lord, to forsake him, we'll help you with that right now this morning. I can help you with that. The elders can. Let me get you some help. Why don't you come as we stand and sing this morning, please?